checking this big system that's moving across the country. It's caused some damage in the deep south. We're starting to see some light showers now. A lot of changes through the morning commute as the system moves in. I'll show you.
And breaking news right now in Durham, a crash has closed 40 westbound. I'll show you where it's closed and which exit you'll want to take.
Gun sales at flea markets and gun shows will soon face tougher regulations. The new rules that were just released that'll put more scrutiny on buyers and sellers.
Hundreds of new jobs could be coming to Wake County. The big new expansion biotech company Fujifilm Diosynth could announce today. It is 6 o'clock and already we have some light rain popping up in parts of the viewing area. If it's not raining where you are, be sure to grab the rain gear because you'll see it later. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this WRO Weather Alert Day. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making us part of your Thursday here. Yeah, don't leave without the umbrella for certain today. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRO Severe Weather Center. This weather alert stretches across the whole state here, it looks like.
It does. Level one risk for the entire state of North Carolina. It's a level two as you get into Virginia. Wind damage, heavy rain, and hail would be our biggest threats here. It's probably going to be a fairly low end severe threat for today, but we're still going to have windy conditions. We're going to have heavy rain at times. It's going to affect the morning commute a little later on, all the way up until the evening commute. Right now, we're looking at a little patchy shower that just popped up there in Franklin County. A little light rain this morning, but as we get between say now and 9 o'clock, we're going to see more and more of the rain pushing into our area. Our rain chances really start to climb once we get to mid-morning and into the afternoon. Some of that rain may be heavy at times, and we're going to have some windy conditions too. Here's 6 o'clock on Futurecast. We'll push it ahead and pause it there at 9, and you can see widespread rain across our area. So some big changes will be happening over the next few hours. If you're not headed out the door until say 8 o'clock or so, make sure that you check in before you head out the door because we may have a lot of rain across the region by then. Getting closer to lunchtime, we'll have some waves of heavy rain and possibly some storms that produce wind damage. Anytime from, say, lunchtime up until around 4 or 5 o'clock. We might see another round that comes through during the evening. We're going to have our cold front that comes through, and there'll be a lot of lift with that. It's just the question of how much rain will still be lingering during that time. We take a look at our Jimmy V camera. It's a little damp there on Fayetteville Street this morning. We had a shower roll through about an hour ago. 66 degrees is the temperature as you're heading out the door. We're going to keep it in the 60s for much of the day with a clouds and the rain, but by late afternoon, we'll see highs in the low 70s. If you're hoping for some more 80s, well, we have quite the week for you next week. I'll show you coming up, Brian.
6:02 right now, Elizabeth, following that breaking news on 40 westbound in South Durham. The road is closed, all westbound lanes at the I-885 interchange because of this crash. This is at Alston Avenue, just before you get to the 55 interchange. And here at the bottom of the screen, you can see where they're working to get the debris cleared. We have just learned from Durham police that 5 vehicles were involved in this crash. There are some injuries. We're still working to learn the extent of those injuries, but it looks like they should be getting that road reopened here shortly. I want to zoom into that area and show you all of that traffic at 40 westbound being diverted up I-885, probably turning around at Cornwallis and coming back down there. If you can pick up 40 westbound from 55, that'll put you on the other side of that closure and those delays. If you're getting ready to head out right now, remember, you can listen to us live on the radio anytime at 96.5 FM in Durham. I'll have another update in about 10 minutes.
Breaking news we followed in the overnight hours. Crews have now cleared the scene of a fire in Raleigh just within the last 3 hours. It happened in a townhome community off Poole Road, and Nick Perlin was there in the WRL Breaking News Tracker while those crews were fighting the fire.
Raleigh firefighters are getting ready to clear a scene after investigating a fire at this townhome right here behind me early Thursday morning. Firefighters were called to a structure fire at this townhome at around 1:30 this morning on Sustainable Way near Poole Road. They were able to quickly put the fire out, but take a look at the damage. The wood outside of this unit completely burnt up. Some of the damage even spreading to the unit next door. Firefighters sprayed water to make sure the fire stayed out and used tools to knock away debris. Firefighters on scene tell me nobody was hurt and the fire was contained to the outside of the townhome. They also tell us the people who live here can still live in the unit safely despite the damage. We're still trying to learn what exactly caused this fire. Once we have more information, we'll be sure to pass it along. In Raleigh, Nick Perlin, WRL News.
Today, we could learn more about plans to bring hundreds of new jobs to Wake County. Biotech company Fujifilm Diosynth is making a bigger investment in the Triangle. WRL's Kelsey Coffey is live in Holly Springs this morning, where Fujifilm is building a massive facility. Kelsey, this is just the latest investment in the state from Fujifilm. Renee, we've seen a lot of growth over the past couple of years. 600, that's the number of new jobs that could be created from Fujifilm's newest expansion. This is the site where they're building a new facility here in Holly Springs. We first told you about the Japanese-based biotech company's facility back in 2021. This is a look at that groundbreaking right now. Today, we're expecting to hear about the company's plans for a $1 billion expansion in the Triangle. This comes as the Japanese Prime Minister is scheduled to meet with state officials this morning. State economic leaders will also have a special meeting today. They haven't said what it will be about yet, but just 1 hour later, Governor Roy Cooper is scheduled to make an economic development announcement. He'll do that alongside leaders from Wake County and Holly Springs at noon, so we'll have a crew there and keep you updated on what comes out of this. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Holly Springs.
The Prime Minister of Japan will make a historic visit to North Carolina today. Fumio Kishida will be treated to barbecue and some good southern hospitality as he tours some of the biggest Japanese companies in the state. Japan invests more money than any other foreign country into our state. Governor Roy Cooper plans to meet Kishida and greet him when he arrives at RDU this afternoon. And last night, Kishida and his wife were honored at a state dinner hosted by President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill. During the event, President Biden celebrated the relationship between the U.S. and Japan, calling their alliance stronger than it's ever been. Governor Roy Cooper and First Lady Kristen Cooper were also at that dinner.
A group of UNC students is fighting against a classmate's ban from graduation. More than 700 have signed a petition calling for Jamie Marsicano to be allowed to attend graduation. The law student was banned from campus last year by then Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz. The ban came after Marsicano's arrest in March 2023 over alleged involvement in a protest against a police training complex near Atlanta. Marsicano claims they were not involved in the protest and were wrongfully arrested. Students will present their petition to interim Chancellor Lee Roberts this afternoon.
Raleigh police were in a neighborhood in Northeast Raleigh early this morning. Officers investigating on Noose Hunter Drive right off of Perry Creek Road. Last night around 10 o'clock, officers responded to a call about shots fired there. And when they got there, they found no injuries. And police said the investigation was separate from that shots fired call.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, China has announced new sanctions against two U.S. companies over their support for arms sales to Taiwan. The announcement freezes the assets of General Atomics Aeronautical Systems and General Dynamics Land Systems held within China. The measure also bars the company's management from entering the country. It is not immediately clear what assets the companies have within China.
Michelle, thanks. New this morning, federal regulations for gun sales are tightening. This comes after Congress passed the bipartisan Safer Communities Act last year. The Biden administration says starting May 11th, anyone who sells guns as a business in the U.S. will have to have a federal license and perform background checks. That includes people who sell guns at gun shows, flea markets, and online. For decades, they have not been required to have licenses or perform background checks. Vice President Kamala Harris says the so-called gun show loophole allows tens of thousands of guns to be sold every year with no oversight.
Including to buyers, if they had been required to pass a background check, would have failed. For example, domestic abusers, violent felons, and even children.
White House officials say 40% of guns linked to crimes are trafficked by unlicensed dealers. The new requirements will not affect commercial gun dealers who already have to follow these rules. And they will not apply to private sellers or collectors who don't sell guns frequently. Coming up, UNC officials are calling it an enrollment crisis. What's keeping thousands of high school seniors from making a big decision about their future education? Ken.
Also, Renee, lost at sea for more than a week, three fishermen are rescued from a remote Pacific island. We'll show you how it all played out and how this mission turned into a family reunion.
And it is a WRAL weather alert day with a level one risk for severe storms across our area. It could begin to affect us as early as the morning commute. I'm going to walk you through the timeline for the rain coming up.
Stay safe with the latest WRAL Weather Alert Day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
It is 6:11. It's a WRL weather alert day. We're going to see windy conditions even outside of thunderstorms with some gusts 35 to 40 miles per hour today. We'll likely start to see some heavier rain close to lunchtime, up to about an inch, which isn't enough to cause widespread flooding. But it is enough if you're out and about at lunchtime to make it pretty inconvenient, and visibility may be low in some places as you're traveling around. Our severe level one threat is with us all day long and for the entire state. The biggest threat would be wind damage and maybe some isolated hail. We've had a sprinkle or two pop up this morning, but we're more likely to see some widespread rain by 8 a.m. So keep that in mind if you don't head out the door until 8 or 9. The conditions will likely be much different. It's mostly cloudy there in Sanford. Temperatures heading out the door are in the mid to upper 60s. Brian.
6:12, we're still following this breaking news in the south part of Durham. 40 westbound closed at 885, heading out toward the 55 interchange because of an earlier crash that involved five vehicles. They've made a lot of progress getting this cleared up, and they should reopen those lanes at any point now. We'll let you know when that happens. If you're getting ready to head out, you can listen to us on the radio in Durham at 96.5 FM. As we zoom into that area, you can see the backups as you approach 885. One option for you, if you're coming from Raleigh, trying to get into South Durham on 40 westbound, is to take Davis Drive down to 54 and then 54 back to Highway 55. From there, you can pick up 40 westbound. Jeff.
An enrollment crisis. That's what an official at UNC Chapel Hill is calling the ongoing problems with federal student financial aid. UNC and other schools say the delays are keeping them from offering aid packages that many students' college decisions are based upon. A new online form that was supposed to come out in October didn't launch until January. The application has suffered from widespread glitches and other issues. Many of the forms that have been filed will need to be corrected. Now, UNC Chapel Hill's Vice Provost for Enrollment testified before a House Subcommittee on Education yesterday, and she said the school has been unable to send out any aid packages yet.
The continuing delays hurt our most vulnerable students and families the most. Millions of students rely on the support they receive from guidance counselors or outreach programs in order to not just complete the FAFSA, but make crucial college decisions. As time marches on, those students are going to graduate and not have those resources. We cannot leave behind talented minds simply because they rely on financial aid to go to college.
UNC says it hopes it'll get aid offers out by the first week of May. The school has already extended its enrollment deadline to May 15th.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we continue to follow that breaking news out of Orlando, Florida. It actually happened in Ocoee, which is about 15 minutes west of Orlando. But a man is dead after a shooting in this neighborhood. This is a live look at the scene right now. You can see a large portion of this residential street blocked off by crime scene tape. Police responded to a home in a neighborhood there last night. They found a man in his 30s that was shot. He was taken to a hospital where he later died. Right now, we don't have any information on any suspects. This is an active investigation. You can see the forensics unit is on scene there. We'll continue to follow the story and bring you any updates as we get them.
Michelle, thanks. New this morning, a Navy and Coast Guard rescue that looked like a scene right out of a movie. As it turns out, the rescue mission led to a family reunion. WRL's Ken Smith is here now with how it all played out on a tiny island in the Pacific. Ken.
You know, Renee, this is life imitating art. There's no other way to put it. Here's what happened. Three fishermen were stranded on a small island off the coast of Micronesia for more than a week. Their families reported them missing. They were planning to go fishing when the high seas damaged their outboard motor on their 20-foot skiff. They were able to scramble to this tiny island, but couldn't call for help because the radio ran out of battery power. That's when they used some palm branches to spell out the word help on the white sand beach. There you see it right there. Eventually, the U.S. Navy spotted the sign and called in the Coast Guard. But here's the twist. Turns out one of the rescuers from the Coast Guard was Micronesian and spoke the local language and is related to the stranded fishermen. After they did some talking, they figured out they are third and fourth cousins. How about that? Well, the Coast Guard said that makeshift sign was crucial in finding those stranded fishermen.
We're keeping a close eye on the severe weather system that is making its way toward us. This is video in Louisiana, just northeast of New Orleans. National Weather Service says an EF1 tornado touched down there with winds as high as 140 miles per hour. Several buildings were severely damaged.
And this is video from Alabama, where at least one tornado touched down near Mobile. The National Weather Service says it was on the ground for only about a minute. There are no reports of any injuries. And that's the same storm system headed our way, creating a level one severe weather risk for our entire state. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRIO Severe Weather Center. And the wind will be the big story with this one.
Yeah, tracking the system the last several days, watching all of those storm reports down there in Texas and Louisiana, I'm not surprising to see some of that video coming out of there with some of that damage. Now, our level one risk won't be nearly what folks have been seeing down there along the Gulf Coast. We do have a chance of some wind damage, some heavy rain and some hail, but this is going to be a fairly low-end severe weather risk for us. So we're looking at rain moving in this morning. Don't forget your raincoat or your umbrella, because by lunchtime, that rain may be coming down fairly hard. We get into our severe weather threat starting closer to noon and continuing up until around the time of the evening commute. But we'll have maybe one more potential band that comes through later on in the evening that could produce some wind damage as well. I would expect with a level one risk to see isolated wind damage. This is not likely to be widespread, but it is going to be a windy day today. We're going to see gusts even outside of the thunderstorms up to 40 miles per hour. So it's going to be a windy and wet, just kind of uncomfortable kind of a day for us. Here's what's happening right now. We have a big band of thunderstorms. We got a severe thunderstorm warning earlier there in parts of Florida. And now right here on the Florida and Georgia line, we have a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings as well. So all that's going to continue to slide northward and eastward up toward North Carolina, followed by this cold front. And that cold front may be the thing later this evening that brings us maybe an isolated storm or two as well. So here's what's happening right now. Dual Doppler 5000 radar not showing any rain in our viewing area currently. We did have a few stray showers earlier, but those have fizzled out. We take a live look at Durham right now. All is dry. And we're looking at the potential for the rain to develop, especially between, say, 7 and 8 o'clock. At lunchtime, that rain is widespread, and you can see these pockets where it looks heavy. We could have some storms that produce wind damage there. Some of the rain is going to be heavy at times, could make for messy travel if you have to be out around lunchtime, if you're thinking about running some errands or heading out for a meeting. It's going to be pretty messy. As we get into the evening commute, we start to see some of that rain tapering off, but then our cold front swings through. There'll be a lot of energy with that. It's just how much moisture will there be left? Will we actually see any strong to severe thunderstorms then? You're going to wake up Friday morning thinking, oh, we're done with this, right? But there's going to be some wraparound moisture that comes in on Friday afternoon and evening. It's 5 o'clock. So the evening commute through dinner time, if you had plans to be out for Friday evening, it looks like it may be wet at least just a little bit. How much rain total? Likely anywhere from a half an inch to an inch of rain. That's typically not enough to cause a lot of flooding, but it can cause some real issues for driving around, especially around lunchtime today or during the evening commute. Friday, it's a 40% chance with that last little bit rolling through. And as I mentioned, it's going to be windy. We'll see winds gusting 35 to 40 miles per hour, even outside of the thunderstorms. And tomorrow will be windy as well, with gusts up to 30, 35 miles per hour. Looking ahead to Saturday and the weekend, it looks really nice. At Apex, the Peak City Pig Fest looks nice and dry, with highs in the afternoon in the low 70s. After that, it's almost a heat wave. Look at that, 4 days in a row with highs in the 80s. I'll show you how close to records that will be coming up, Brian.
It is 620 right now, Elizabeth. Good news, an update to that breaking news we've been following in Durham on 40 westbound, right around 885. All lanes now are open after that earlier crash. Again, five vehicles involved. We know that some people apparently were injured. We're going to get some details about that, but traffic now is flowing freely at the scene. Sensors in that area are not indicating big delays at this point. As we zoom in there, just a little bit of a backup as you approach 885. That's left over from when they were diverting traffic. And you also might see a little bit of a slowdown on the southbound lanes of 885 merging into that traffic on 40 westbound. But this is going to improve pretty quickly out there around Davis Drive and 55. Also, a disabled vehicle reported over on the east side of Raleigh at Sunnybrook Road near Poole Road. Seeing some delays on Poole Road this morning. But our major routes around the rest of the triangle are looking fine. A reminder that you can listen to us live on the radio during your morning commute at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham.
Thanks, Brian. Coming up, the bird flu has made it to a cattle herd in our state. The new precautions farmers are taking to make sure the milk you drink is safe.
Plus, it's all fun and games for Barbie star Margot Robbie. We'll explain the new project she's working on as she switches from dolls to board games.
And here's a look at your winning NC Education lottery numbers.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rug and Home.
After the success of Barbie, Margot Robbie is bringing more kids' toys to the big screen.
Brian Schrader here now with What's Trending on our Thursday, Brian.
Robbie's production company now is working on a live-action film based on Monopoly. No word on exactly what that plot might entail. You know, that's a great question. What in the world would you do with that? But yeah. This is not the only game that Robbie is working on turning into a movie. Her production company is also taking part in the upcoming project based on the video game The Sims.
Yeah, well, listen, when you do $1.5 billion on Barbie, you just strike again.
Exactly.
See what happens, right?
You hope the word of mouth from Barbie will carry over to Monopoly.
Yeah. And everyone loves Monopoly.
Yeah. Break out your camcorders. There's a new Blair Witch Project movie in the works. Lionsgate says it's teaming with horror production company Blumhouse on the next version of the classic. The first movie came out 25 years ago. There have been two sequels since. There are no new ideas. We'll just do it again.
Yeah. Anything that happened 25 years ago, just do it again. But this one was, you know, a phenomenon. Generated $248 million. What I remember from watching that movie in the theater when it came out was I barely watched it at all because I just covered my eyes. And it was so shaky, yeah. Right? Oh, you need to take Dramamine before you watch that.
That was the huge takeaway. People were just like, oh, I couldn't handle all the shakiness.
Queasy.
Brian, thanks. 27 real-life Rosie the Riveters now have their long-overdue congressional gold medals. It comes about 80 years after the women worked in factories and shipyards while men were fighting in World War II. Speaker Mike Johnson presented the medals, the nation's highest civilian honor. The women are now between 90 and 106 years old. The Rosie the Riveter Trust funded their trips from all over the country to the Washington, D.C. ceremony.
Taking a look at the rain headed our way. It's heavier down in South Carolina. I'll show you what time it'll move in here to start to affect the morning commute coming up.
A Japanese-based vaccine maker is planning a big expansion in Wake County. The big plans the biotech company has for the Triangle and the jobs it will create.
And we'll learn more today about how Durham Public Schools plans to address its budget. The money school leaders are looking to set aside for raises for staff members.